Today in our liturgy, we celebrate the solemnity of the most blessed blood and body of Jesus Christ, the Eucharist. A devotion or a celebration that began about 13th century in Europe. There was a time that was very, very popular, one of the great feasts of the year, when in many places they would have processions, the only day that the Blessed Sacrament would go, over outside of the church, exposed, in a monstrance, and would walk through the streets of the towns and cities. Nowadays, some places keep the tradition, other places don't have it anymore. Tomorrow, Sunday, there will be special Mass at the cathedral, said by Bishop Noonan. And after the Mass, weather permitting, they will have a procession outside of the cathedral. Now, I believe we are coming here. That should be my starting point. It's a point of no discussion how we have such love for the Eucharist. We believe in the real presence of Jesus, that the bread will bring to the altar, and after the prayers of consecration that the priests celebrating says over the bread and the wine, that they become indeed the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the one that we come and we receive and is the food, the nourishment for our spiritual life. I want to have a reflection, though, based on the gospel, on the implications I believe the Eucharist should have in our lives and in the world today. The miracle we heard in the gospel, the multiplications of the loaves and the fish, is the only miracle that Jesus, among many that Jesus did, performed, that is present in all four Gospels. Some miracles are just one Gospel, the others are two different Gospels, but this one is in all four. Of course, besides, the resurrection in the end, but when Jesus was teaching and walking with his disciples. And it says that he was teaching about the kingdom of God. It immediately says that he was healing or curing all those who were bringing to him with illnesses. He was preaching the kingdom with his words. And then his practice, healing, was showing that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of well-being. I mean, there was no place for sickness. That's why he would heal. That would show, that's what the kingdom will be like. No sickness, no sin. That's why he would give the forgiveness of sins. Then there is something that caught my attention that usually I just, read through the gospel. And sometimes, when you read the same passage and over, and you meditate, sometimes a comma will make a very big difference, or a word. Because it said, it was getting late of the day, preaching and healing, and then the 12 came to him. This is what caught my attention. The 12, all the apostles. Because sometimes he has one of his disciples or two, they come and ask a question. This time it says, the 12 come to him. I assume, it's not there, but I assume that if they come, they were talked among themselves first. They would not just by accident, by chance, come all together. They had talked and said, Lord, we have to talk, you know. And here is Jesus, you know, perhaps healing or teaching, and 12 around him. We need to talk. So, well, what is going on here? Said, tell these people to go away. You know, it's getting late. They're hungry. And you know what a hungry mob can do. You know, they can get out of control, basically. So tell them to go away so they can go to whatever they came from or the closest place that they can find shelter and food. And then Jesus, of course, that's the part that's always caught my attention, is he says, give yourselves, give them yourself something to eat. In other words, well, take care of the, you know, of the situation. You can do it. And of course, then we know they sat in groups and they all ate and they presented, you know, the fish and the bread, and they still had 12 baskets full of the leftovers. I guess in many moments or situations in our lives, we try to be like the apostles, the 12, in this particular moment. When we face trials, difficult moments or puzzling moments in our lives, our prayer could be very close to that. You know, presenting everything to the Lord and say, please, Lord, fix my life. I know you can do it. Do something for me. And then I believe that if we could hear his voice back as the apostles did on that situation, he would probably give the same answer. You can do it. There are ways that you can, you know, fix things. Other words, the miracles will happen. They did happen. The people, they could eat. So Jesus did not neglect the concern that the disciples had at that moment. He did not neglect that. But he made the apostles also do something. Eucharist, what that has to do with the Eucharist that we celebrate. Not only today, we celebrate every time we meet, you know, but especially today that we are saying on Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the body and blood of Christ. It is more than a devotion. What do I mean by devotion? Well, we pray. We have devotions to some saints. I don't know. I like one saint, St. Francis of Assisi. I don't know, St. Teresa of Lisieux, Little Flower, St. Teresa of Avila, or St. Padre Pio. I don't know. You might have a devotion and we pray. And when we say a devotion, we pray that by the intercession of that saint that we believe is in heaven, the saints are our heroes, you know, and we do believe for the life they lived, they are in heaven. Being in heaven, they are, you know, close there, they can intercede, they can, you know, prayer of intercession for us. The Eucharist, I believe, is more than a devotion. Why? Because every time we meet, we come forward. We are invited, you know, we come for a meal. We come to hear, to listen to the Word of God. And then we meditate a little on that Word. And then we continue. And on this table that we call the altar, we bring bread and wine that will become that body and blood of Christ, that will be shared. We continue doing what we heard in today's second reading, what Jesus did in the Last Supper. And then everyone can come forward and can receive. And we say the body of Christ and we answer, Amen. I believe. And that body of Christ goes with us. So, receiving, nourishing ourselves with the body and blood is the food we need to go out into the world. I know that there are many people, I know we all have commitments. And sometimes the commitment, we start Mass at 5 and the commitment is at 6 or 6:05, that you have to leave 5 minutes before, 10 minutes before, or from the communion you get communion and you say your prayer in your car because you do have to go somewhere. And okay, if you do have to go and it's an emergency, you have to do what you have to do. But whoever leaves miss one important part of the Mass. You know, besides the final blessing, there is usually the deacon will say that, you know, you may go, the Mass is ended. Go in peace. Okay, that's like a greeting, say, well, goodbye, see you next week. Well, in Latin, which I don't speak, so I don't want to fancy anything about Latin, but it would say, that's where the word Mass comes from, they would say, who can help me at the last word? They would say, Missa est. That was the last word. Which would say the Mass has ended, but at the same time would say mission, the mission begins. So the last words of the Mass is not only a goodbye, see you next Saturday, or see you on Sunday. It is a commissioning. Go out into the world. You've been fed. You have been nourished. Go and make a difference. Now, there's a song that usually we sing for Confirmation Day. Go and transform that world. You have come and you have said to Jesus, there are so many things broken in today's world. We have people dying of hunger. We have wars. We have abortions. We have so much that needs to be fixed, Lord. Do something. And in the end, the Lord will say, go into the world and do the best you can to fix that. God will do. But if nobody will present those loaves and those fish, he did not make a miracle out of stones. He didn't say, okay, there are stones here. Tell everybody to grab a stone. I will say a prayer and the stone will become bread. No. He fed them bread from bread, fish from fish. So the world will have more goodness out of the goodness that is in our hearts, that we can go out and multiply that. The world will become better if all the small gestures that we can do of kindness, the good words that we talk about each other. Now, I was reading something that was like a teacher was teaching math, multiplication, and then wrote, you know, like the nine times one, nine times two, nine, and put all them. But the first one, the teacher wrote nine times one equals seven. Nine times two equals 18. And it was right to nine times, you know, 10 equals 90. Was it right, nine times one equals seven? No. So everybody starts laughing. Oh, look, the teacher made a mistake. And the teacher said, yes, purposely, just so you notice that in life sometimes they will say, they'll point out you have one mistake, then you have nine right calculations and nobody will say, bravo, you did well. But the mistake, they'll point it out. What are we spreading in the world? The goodness. So, I know this could be a different reflection on the Eucharist, on the day of Corpus Christi. I just basically want to say that we are the body of Christ. We nourish ourselves from the Eucharist, His real presence. We carry that with us. So we are called to transform the world, to bring something good. And that's what I said when it's more than a devotion. Devotion is something personal. We don't come here to say, oh, I got Jesus, I can go home. We don't grab Jesus. We don't make Jesus my personal property. Oh, I have Him with me, now I can, you know, I am blessed. We got Jesus so we can share that blessing with the world. And if we don't do that, we're not fulfilling what the Lord has asked from His disciples and is asking from us. So, coming when we stand up and we walk and we receive the Eucharist is an act, is a courageous act. It's a courageous moment to say, yes, I want that Lord with me. I want that challenge. So I will have the strength and the grace to go out and bring Him to the needy, to the sick, to those who feel they are just at the margins of the world and society. They need the Lord. They need the bread from heaven. And we are the ones to do that. First, with our presence. We have the Lord with us. We can bring Him. And hopefully one day they will join us in this beautiful celebration. And then they also become the missionaries that in the end we say, go, your mission has started. Your mission is beginning. And then they can go out in the world and make the difference, which each one of us is called, you know, to make that difference. Not because we are great, but because mostly, we can be great as well, but mostly, because we carry the Lord with us.